Welcome back to Digesting Dark. We're tackling Netflix's Dark one episode at a time. For this episode, we rewatched episode number 4, titled Double Lives, and we will be discussing that in full spoiler detail through the end of season 2. Of course, every episode of this podcast, we are going through Dark one episode at a time, leading up to the release of season 3 at the end of June 2020. And I am here joined by the Elizabeth to my Francisca. He has stolen my red lipstick once more. My name is Zach Brooks. Aaron, how are you doing?
Good. That would make my relationship with mom pretty odd as well, then, if I'm Elizabeth. So
that's true. Yes, you're my. I'm also joined by my grandmother. That's fun.
Yeah, I'm. I'm good. You know, this episode was, I think, one of the more focused, smaller episodes of ever in Dark.
This one is. I still have a decent amount of notes, but it's very focused on the Doppler family, pretty much.
Yeah, it's by far the least amount of notes I've ever written. Only like 3 pages. So I mean, that's compared to some of my episode 3. I had like about 5 pages. So yeah, it's interesting. Interesting episodes. So there's no bad episodes of Dark that I can think of.
Yeah. So. I think there's a lot, especially if you look at it in terms of the title, which is Double Lives. There is lots of doubling. There is some interesting symmetry in this episode. So, you know, plot wise, we're setting up things. So we're coming back from the 1980s and we're setting things up for the next little stretch of episodes. But, you know, I wouldn't say the plot moves forward that much, but we do, especially on the first watch, you're getting some puzzle pieces, especially about the Doppler family and their relationships to each other and their relationships to other family members in Wyndon. So, of course, as we're going through this whole process of breaking down episodes of Dark before the new season comes out, if you are not yet subscribed, you can subscribe on Spotify. You can subscribe on Google Play. Soon you will be able to subscribe on Apple Podcasts. It's just Digesting Dark. So if you have not yet done so, definitely subscribe because we're releasing a few episodes a week. You want to make sure you don't miss any so you're all caught up. And once season 3 comes out, we don't know exactly what the schedule for us will look like, but we'll be tackling season 3 one episode at a time with no future knowledge. So it will be a little bit different than what we have now. Because
I think what we should shoot for on that, just is not anything we talked about off, but every 3 days I think would be appropriate for the new season.
Every 3 days?
I would think every 3 days for a new episode, just in honor of the threes, maybe. Mm-hmm. Just a thought, but I guess we'll have to see. But
yeah. The only thing I think with that is it's going to be very hard to wait 3 days between episodes for us.
Oh, I mean, I'll watch each episode several times between those 3 days. I think anticipating there's going to be enough within that.
So you won't watch ahead then? You would just watch, you know, episode 1, you'll watch it a bunch of times within 3 days, but not let yourself go on to episode 2?
Probably not.
Yeah. Probably not. I think most likely we'll be watching, we'll be releasing and recording almost every day, depending on our schedules. Not to promise anything, but we will see if how that works out. But we have like almost a month. We have 22 days until the new season comes out. Of course, that is just a little over 3 weeks. So if you were following us tracking threes, that would be another 3 that we can track. So this episode, not much threes that I noticed. You probably picked up on more than me. I think a lot more, you know, it's called Double Effect. There's a lot of doubles. I think it focuses on the Dopplers, which is what we will focus on mostly when we're going through the plot. Right before this podcast, I actually looked up double in German. I was just curious what that was. Mm-hmm. And it is not exactly Doppler. It is Doppelt, but it is very close. So that has got to be intentional. Their last name is the Doppler family.
Yep. Yeah. And just another thing about twos here. I looked up the Radar bar finally just to see if it was a real thing. And it was what Twix bars were referred to in Europe until 1991.
Until 1991. So okay.
I think that's why it just sticks out so much. Why in 2019, when someone sees a Radar bar freshly ripped on the ground and not like decomposed or like looks like it was just opened, it's probably a sign that Helge was there. As we see, Helge is a big fan of the Radar bars.
Oh, is Helge a big? Yeah, that would make. Well,
he cracks one open before he takes off. At one point, I think they come up a few times. Oh, okay. For Helge. So yeah. Maybe a sign that Helge was moving around and making some moves.
Helge was here, yes.
Yes.
Of course, we see Helge at the very end of the episode. If you were on a first watch, you were probably meant to assume that is the Stranger. That is not the Stranger. Yeah. They just wear the same rain jacket that is worn in Unbreakable by Bruce Willis's character.
Yes.
That dark green rain jacket. Looked like a very, very big rainstorm, kind of like what you had there last night.
Yeah, yeah, it was, yeah. There was definitely some time travel going on in the DC area.
Yes, I saw the lightning struck the Washington Monument last night.
Yeah.
Helge was also there.
Helge was there. I'll look for the radar bars.
Yeah. Interesting, too, being Twix, because Twix is twin candy, so it's, you get two bars and a Twix bag. Exactly.
So. Yeah, exactly. So everything's a suspect, even the litter. So, yeah.
That makes sense. That makes sense why the Raider bars and, you know, also we don't see him, but they talk about the body, which we know is Mads. You know, he had other things from the 80s, such as his shoes and his Walkman. The other thing I was thinking, too, is there is an actor, Mads Mikkelsen, who actually looks a lot like the actor who plays Ulrich. And I wonder if it's intentional that Mads and Mikkel are related so much.
Huh. I haven't thought of that one. That's because
I was thinking about like how, you know, sometimes we would confuse like Mads or Mikkel, like we would refer.
He does. I've always thought he looks like that actor.
Yeah. And his name is Mads Mikkelsen. So.
But Mads isn't Mikkel's son.
That we know of.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'll leave that one with you.
I don't know if we're going to get much Mads unless we have like bait. I mean, we have to get like very young Mads. Mads Mikkelsen is Danish, not German.
Okay. So, debunked.
No, not debunked. I think there is something there. Why would you choose Mads and Mikkel as the name of the two children who disappear?
I've always thought Mads was done on purpose. I definitely think he's driving everybody mad. That's like what starts it in some way, but I can't quite figure out what it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, let's get into the actual episode. Of course, you know, at least for now, we're still tracking these things by family as best we can. I do think, you know, we were talking before we got on the air that eventually it is going to get to the point where it is too hard to break the story down by family. So we'll have to probably break things up differently, either how it appears on the episode or maybe by decade or by year. But for now, I think, especially this episode, because it is so much about one family, it is so much about the Dopplers that we can just stay with them. So,
yeah, but can we talk about how it opens real quick?
Yeah, so we do get a cold open before we get to the Doppler family. So,
yeah. Back the episode before this, I was talking about how I thought about maybe when you go through the portal, that automatically kind of seals your fate that you don't belong in the world and you kind of have forced yourself to disappear from it. And this episode opens with HG, I believe, is the voiceover again, talking about black holes, how they're considered to be the hellmouth of universe. And then the next line is the line that I think is real key. Those who fall inside will disappear forever.
Mm.
So, it's HG Townhouse, again, talking about black holes. And I just thought that was a big key for any of the individuals from Mikkel to Jonas to anybody, to Ulrich, who go through this. You know, Katarina ends up, doesn't just about everybody from Winden end up going through this hole, now that I think about it, at some point?
Probably, yeah. I mean, we would have to see by the end of two.
Hannah
does, you know. Ulrich, Jonas, yeah. Mikkel.
Egon doesn't.
Yeah. Charlotte does, obviously.
Egon's the most screwed of any character, really, by the end of all.
His fate is sealed by other people making decisions, trying to change the future.
And there is a line eventually in season two that we'll get to, I'm sure, but you know, we will. But that essentially says the good get punished sometimes the worst of any in this. And Egon is always punished for kind of being oblivious.
Yeah.
In general.
I don't know if he's necessarily good, though.
Having things planet, well, yeah.
The way he treats Ulrich, I don't think he's necessarily good.
But is that his fault? Because it's really Ulrich. I mean, like, we'll see as the show keeps going. These things get planted into Egon without him, really. from other people interfering. But either way, I think Egon's one of the only characters I can think of who doesn't travel through some sort of black hole at some point.
Yeah, unless he does, because there is going to be the time period where he's with Hannah between the 50s and the 80s. Mm-hmm. And we don't know what happens during that period. And I would imagine we will see a lot of that in season 3.
Yep. Yeah.
Because especially, thinking ahead to season 3, like the stuff we can see and the stuff we can't. I mean, I know that they film this pretty quickly after season 2, but I would imagine stuff with the kids is tougher to film, especially the really young kids, because they're going to be older. So stuff with Mikkel, maybe we're seeing Mikkel as he's a teenager growing up in Winden, but I can't imagine. Well, I guess he wouldn't have gotten that much older, but I just can't imagine we're going to see like Mikkel at the age when he disappeared, now 3 years of real time later, unless they film stuff early on. So,
yeah.
I also wrote down from that opening scene that everything that influences the past influences the future. Mm-hmm. And we see the stranger, we see Helge, we see older Helge, and we hear lots of people saying TikTok.
What is Helge putting together with those pine cones?
Oh, I didn't notice. I mean, is it the toy doll that Yasin sees at the end of the episode?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't know it, but I see the pine. There's all these weird pine cone structures or whatever in that bunker, with one that's a stack of three and two. I just don't know what those really are, and they have acorns on them. They're in the same place that in the future eventually the grenades are. It's just I still can't figure out what that's supposed to be.
So. I didn't notice him building anything with pine cones.
Yeah, he was working on something. He was working on something, but yeah.
When he's in the hospital?
No, Helge. When he's in the bunker, I think.
Oh, but, when he's in the bunker?
Yeah. They may show that later on, though. So.
Yeah. All right.
But I have written down, it appears Helga's assembling something with pine cones and acorn looking thing, like the same things they show. So I don't know what those are, though.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't notice that.
Yeah. And then it asks what lies behind a black hole, which HG asks quite a bit. It seems to be a curiosity of his.
Mm. All right, so then we get into the stuff with the Dopplers. And that's the family that we follow the most. This was the most focused, I would say, on one family that we've had so far. I guess besides Mikkel's adventures in the 80s and the episode before. So we see Francisca and Elizabeth. They are fighting. Francisca is mad that Elizabeth stole her red lipstick. I think it is very important that they bring up red. We see red a lot in this episode. Francisca mentions that it is red lipstick, not just lipstick. So I found that to be very, very important, probably just because it matches Francisca's hair. That's why she likes the red lipstick.
Yeah.
And Charlotte and Peter walk out of their separate bedrooms. And this is where I really noticed the symmetry, even before we get a scene all about symmetry later on in the episode. Charlotte and Peter walk out and they're facing each other, and it really is symmetrical. You cut it in half and they're standing the same way. And behind them is a piece of artwork that also is kind of this mirroring image.
I definitely noticed that.
And that, right away it's like, oh, okay, so this is we're seeing doubling. I don't know exactly, I think we can talk about what is the doubling in this episode that we're seeing, where do we see it leading to? Because I don't know if you would necessarily say that Charlotte and Peter are doubles of each other, but just the theme of doubles and people mirroring each other is something that we see throughout this episode.
So. Yeah, I don't know. We see, the similarities with most couples in Winden where there's infidelity that has taken place in the relationship. So
that's true. Yes. So Peter has had an affair a year ago. And it seems like it was with Bernadette, but and I'm still trying. I guess Bernadette is related to Waller, is what we said, right? That's the connection there.
I guess. Yeah.
I think it's Waller's sister, I believe.
Yeah. I don't know who Waller's related to, but
yeah, we don't know much about Waller. And I do actually, I did notice something about Waller in this episode that when we get to him, I will bring that up. We have Charlotte offering to take Elizabeth to school because she doesn't want her walking because of the disappearance of Mikkel. Probably smart. Elizabeth says she doesn't like Mikkel because he's a know-it-all, or I believe that was what she said about him. And I don't know if we ever get anything else about the relationship between Elizabeth and Mickle. But, you know, it's interesting to even just get, we're just now getting Elizabeth. We didn't even bring that up, but this is the first we've actually seen this character. She is deaf. She is Charlotte's deaf younger daughter. And, you know, we do know that she's ultimately going to end up being Charlotte's mother as well as her daughter. So yep. There is a talk about a circle. That is one total circle in this show. But we don't really know much about how Elizabeth feels about Mickle. I guess they're probably the same age. And so they knew each other, obviously.
Yep. She calls Mickle a show off. Says she doesn't care if he ever comes back.
Mm-hmm.
Like just some really, really harsh stuff.
Yeah.
Which like seemed kind of
especially weird. For a kid who just disappeared as well.
I definitely thought that was a little bit odd, but mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we do hear that Mickle's only been gone for 2 days. So it's not like they're used to him being gone. Like this is very fresh still. It's only been 2 days since he disappeared.
Right.
And we see them going to school. Elizabeth is wearing this fox hat, which she wears that for most of the episode until it is lost. I'm curious if that fox hat is any kind of significance. It's I feel like it reminds me of something, but I'm not sure what that would be.
It reminds me of the wallpaper in the bunker, but
oh yeah, that's interesting. There.
And yeah. But yeah, other than that, I'm not sure what that's about, but it does seem to stick out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like why a fox hat versus just like a regular beanie or something. And you know, I guess one thing I could think of is that in fairy tales, foxes are often the predators. You think about Little Red Riding Hood, for example, who gets kidnapped by a fox. So, but Elizabeth isn't the predator that we know of.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, she takes a little bit of a different stance eventually in the future, but
right. And, you know, and later on we hear about her meeting Noah, and of course Noah is going to be the man that she falls in love with. At least that's what we're led to believe. And they are the parents of Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And so this episode, we get our first introduction to Elizabeth. We also got our first introduction to Noah later on in the episode.
Yep. Then Peter goes to visit Helge in the rest home.
Yep. The rest home is a nice way to put that. It's, you know, better than like nursing home or, you know, hospital rest home. It sounds very relaxing.
Yeah. You know, I learned that at a previous internship of mine, I'll say. Mm-hmm. But Helge keeps saying it has to stop. And Peter grabs him, asking him what has to stop. And so, go ahead. Did you have some?
Nope.
And so right away, this like kind of got me wondering, like, you know, I don't know a lot about the Bible, but I know mm-hmm. Peter's name from the Bible. So I decided to look up who Peter is in the Bible. And basically he has a redemptive arc where he does something super unforgivable as a follower of Jesus and eventually does something to be able to redeem himself. So essentially he's done a lot of irredeemable things with missing children, I think, so far in this show.
Peter has?
Yeah. Or they'll go on to show that he has with at least helping in, you know, with Tronte and elsewhere. So I think he's constantly on a search to try to change things to make things better, similar to other characters in this show like Jonas. But I just thought that was interesting. And
so Peter's what he's done, right? He's working with the younger version of Helge with the kids. Is that what, because I'm trying to remember exactly what he, you know, we know he was at the bunker the night that Mads reappeared or appeared.
He helped place the body because he had the dirt in his car.
Right. So was he working with Helge? Like how did he know to even be there was he just there? I'm just trying to remember exactly what he did. So he was there and the body appeared and then he just moved it but didn't know what it was?
Yeah, him and Tronte were told to be there based on the book, I believe.
Oh, that's right. Okay. Yep.
Yeah. And so, and Helge tells Peter not to be sad. Seems like a relationship like every other relationship where each character is keeping things from the other one and not telling the full story. So.
Yeah.
Just a couple things I noticed.
So we then, once we get to school, we are introduced to Yazin, who is Elizabeth's friend in her class. He's also deaf, just like Elizabeth. So I think we are seeing more, you know, you could say twins, because they are similar in that they're both deaf children. They both are walking either to or from school. So that's kind of the reflection. Elizabeth gets home safely. Yasin does not, as we see at the end of the episode.
Yeah. And also on the way to school, Charlotte steals the game camera, which Elizabeth sees her do. Mm-hmm. And then when she goes back, Charlotte yells to Elizabeth, or lies to Elizabeth, like, I didn't steal it. I confiscated it. And then Elizabeth is like, it's the same thing. And it was like a mother lecturing their child on why stealing's wrong.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, because it is, if you reflect back, mother talking to daughter, you would have mother talking to daughter the other way too.
Yeah, so it's just a little bit of an extra little twist there that I noticed as they're going through that. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was weird how at one point when Elizabeth is talking to Yasin, they bring up snails. And how did you catch this part? Mm-mm. So they're talking about snails and how female snails will bite the penises off the male snails, and the male snails will continue crawling and become females. Mm. So that was just too weird of a line to just not be thrown in there. But so at some point we're going to see a female who is also a male character, or vice versa.
Well, wouldn't that be Bernadette?
It could be maybe something with Peter. I don't know.
Because Bernadette is transgender.
Right.
So, yeah. She also refers to Peter's penis as being like a dill pickle. So,
yeah, crooked. And, yeah.
Yeah. That. So that's something you would take a bite out of. I mean, those could be mirrors of each other, snails and Peter.
Yeah. So I just thought that was really, really.
I don't know how I missed that part. That is like a very odd line to have in there.
Maybe yeah.
German sense of humor.
It may just be, but like, or it may just be like showing how this like little girl is not like other little girls. Maybe same with like, I don't know, but I thought that was too weird not to write down.
Well, Yasin's a little boy.
Well, but yeah,
oh,
no,
you mean Elizabeth though.
Saying it to Yasin.
Oh, I see.
And Yasin, like, you made that up, and she's like, no, I didn't. Like, and then he's like, how do you know things like that? Mm-hmm. Or something like that. It was just a. Yeah, really off the wall conversation. So
yeah, well, this next scene, you know, and we will jump to the other families, but this next scene doesn't have to do with Elizabeth, but it's definitely important. It's the class that Francisca's in that Magnus interrupts, and mm-hmm. we see the teacher who doesn't seem to mind that Magnus just interrupts his class, and he's talking about a form of you know, that symmetry is a form of repetition, and he talks about you know, that it's all doubling. And mirroring, pretty which strong. Which really ties into the theme of this whole episode with doubling and mirroring. So, and you know, we see Elizabeth leave the class, and Magnus is just like creepily following her. And I think we can talk about it, Magnus and Francisco a little bit later. But All right. So then, you know, following Elizabeth and also following Charlotte through the rest of this episode, we see Charlotte. She's looking at the security footage that she confiscated. And she sees Peter's car drive by at about 10, between 9:30 and 10:30. I think it was around 10:30 that she sees his car. And when she asked Peter about it, he said, no, I was at the office until 10 o'clock. Or she just asked him what he was doing that night. And he said he was at the office.
Well, and he had called. He had called. So, like, it's a theme with Peter a lot of times where it looks like he's about to do the right thing and, like, tell someone something. And then something stops him from doing it, basically. Mm-hmm. Just waffles on it. So, but yeah, he's they show him on the game camera at the time when the disappearance for Mikkel happened, which was between 9:30 and 10:30.
And he's driving. I'm still a little confused because if he says he was at the office until 10 and she's looking at the footage between 9:30 and 10:30, that could be when he was leaving the office, but I guess.
He said he was at the office till 11, I believe.
I wrote down 10.
So he's mentioned 11 o'clock at one point, so he may have changed the story, too.
Oh, okay. I mean, 11 would make more sense as to why she's suspicious, why he's driving between 9:30 and 10:30.
I know he brought up 11 at one point, that he was at the office doing things till 11. So he might have said at another point 10 just to show how he's
like inconsistencies. Track. Yeah.
Yeah, that could be.
Oh, and before this scene, we also see Charlotte looking at the birds that fell from the sky, and she's you know, once again very interested in the bird. She recognizes that it happened once before in the 80s,
And she saw the white spots 33 years ago.
Exactly. She saw the white spots. And she is interrupted by Waller, and he's asking her about the dead boy, which is Mavs, that we know. And this is where I noticed the thing about Waller. So he has the one eye that has bandaged up. Something happened to it. But the way he's standing when he's facing Charlotte, all you can see is a bandage going across his eye. And the kids that we keep seeing, obviously there's like a band of burnedness going across their eyes. And with Waller, the way he's standing, it could be that both of his eyes are covered by a bandage, the way it looks. So I just wonder if there's a tie between Waller's one missing eye and the kids who travel through time and they have two missing eyes.
This is one of the only things I think may be a red herring in this show, because it's so clear. Mm-hmm. I think Waller may be absolutely nothing. And he's just so, it's so unusual. It sticks out so much. You're like, there's got to be some. But like, whenever he shows up, it's just always kind of like, yeah, like it's Charlotte going to the printer to grab the picture of Peter before he can see what it is. And like, I think he even makes some comments like, I'm never going to know what it's going on or something. Like, that just may be his role. Like, it's just like, he's like the non-tragic Egon.
Yeah, I just don't know if we have anybody in this who's really like a meaningless character. And Waller and Bernadette are connected, and we don't know much about them. And we don't even know in this episode that they're connected. I don't think we find that out until maybe even season two that they're
connected. Yeah. So then Charlotte calls Peter to pick up Elizabeth from school.
Well, yeah, before then, Charlotte goes to visit Bernadette, and Bernadette says she hasn't seen Peter in about a year, that he must have found something else to get his jollies off or get his rocks off, whatever it was that she said. And we see Peter, and he's getting the red dirt, which they keep talking about. The red dirt was around Mads's body, but nobody knows where that red dirt is from. There is the red dirt is in his car, so he's cleaning out the red dirt out of his car.
Mm-hmm. And then they show it by the Doppler's cottage or whatever.
Yep. And that's where Charlotte goes next. So Charlotte goes to that cottage. We don't really know what it is. It's just a random cabin. It does have the bunker down there. Obviously the bunker is going to end up being where in the 80s or whatever time period with the wallpaper version of the of the bunker we'll see. And the kids are showing up there when they get transported through time. She gets a call about the birds and finds out that the birds have actually had their eardrums bursted out just like the sheep did in the episode before as well. Mm-hmm. So we're seeing, I think the effects of time travel on animals.
Mm-hmm.
So, then Elizabeth starts waiting for her parents.
Well, I have one little thought about the birds maybe, because what they say is when their eardrums burst, they lose track of what up and down is.
Mm-hmm.
What we've been perceiving is that these birds are birds from our world, I think, that when this happens, just drop. I think these are birds from the other world who are used to when they fly up, going up, and they think they're flying up, so they're flying directly into the ground, all killing themselves. That's why they're falling so quickly.
So you think they're from, like, this alternate dimension?
Yeah, and they're flying down into the ground, therefore killing themselves when they land.
Hmm.
They're not falling. They're flying down, thinking they're flying up.
Well, it would be nice if there were some ties to this alternate universe earlier than just the twist at the end of season two.
Well, there's talks of alternate worlds in season one, throughout season one, even with Martha, where she says from another world.
Mm.
So there is very, very little. There's very, but it's introduced, but it's not introduced as explicitly as in season two.
But we don't know why the sheep died like that, though. Because the sheep died the same way. The sheep died from their eardrums bursting.
Well, right. But, I don't know. It's just a thought.
Yeah.
But,
I like that. That would make sense.
I'm not sure how it would explain the sheep, though.
Mm-hmm. So then...
this is where Charlotte calls Peter to pick up...
Right. Yeah, so this is when Charlotte calls Peter to pick up Elizabeth. Elizabeth is waiting. It starts raining really hard. Peter initially starts, saying he's too busy. He can't. But then he finally does... but before he can get there, Elizabeth starts walking home.
Puts on the red lipstick before she starts walking home.
Mm, yes. Again, like Little Red Riding Hood, you could say, too. She's walking in the woods.
Yeah, it puts on the red lipstick in the woods, which is brought up in that song by Katarina early.
And oh, right.
What happens to that girl with the red lipstick in the woods is not very good.
Yes. Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so just, and it was raining hard at this point. Or it's raining hard as Helge escapes. Elizabeth finds the Radar Bar wrapper at this point.
Yep.
And looks at it like, what the hell is this? She's never obviously seen that, not being born in 1991, so that would be a pretty stale candy bar, unless the person was coming from like 1986 or something, perhaps. Where
right. And I think at this point we're supposed to assume right around here is when she meets Noah. We don't see it, but she mentions that she meets Noah later on in the episode. My question is, if you were in a city like Winden, a small town, where now two children have been abducted, why are you letting school out at 2 p.m. just because a teacher is sick?
Yeah, that was definitely very strange. And then
maybe it's like the way it works in Germany is when a teacher gets sick, they don't have substitutes. They just like kids go home. But especially with everything, you would think they would up security and they'd be like, no, we're going to keep kids at school until the end of the day.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. You know, and again, you know, Charlotte, similar to Ulrich, who she was going to pick up at this point, which is why she didn't pick up her own child.
Right.
Is, you know, it's the theme that mirrors that these people get lost in their work. Egon, Ulrich, all these different law enforcement officers get lost in their work and start ignoring their families and forgetting about their families.
Mm.
So, you know, so then Charlotte picks up Ulrich. He asks why Mikkel, and says he's being punished and that all he gets is sympathy, but like, that's not enough.
Right. That he wants answers.
Yeah, exactly. He wants answers. And then, yeah. So, and then eventually asks to be let out of the car.
Right. And that's when Charlotte starts. So Charlotte then goes, she goes into the woods. And I don't know exactly what drew, I don't have it written down, what drew her into the woods, but that's where she finds Elizabeth's hat, the fox hat, mm-hmm. sitting on the ground in the woods.
Yeah. Yeah. They didn't really say what made her go that way.
Yeah.
So I think just a lot of bad stuff's happened in the woods and in that area of the woods that got to go to where things keep happening bad at least every 30 years or so here.
Yeah. So then, you know, we get home. And the Dopplers are there. You know, they talk, you know, she talks to Peter and he says he didn't pick her up because, you know, we saw Peter go there and school's already been let out. And so then they think that Elizabeth has been taken and they're just waiting for her. Francisca comes home at this point. She sees her parents upset. I did notice there are oranges on the table in front of them. I just thought, you know, oranges are always so significant in TV and movies. They obviously represent death in The Godfather. It might just be the color orange in this episode instead of anything else, but it definitely seemed intentional the oranges were there. Eventually, Elizabeth returns home. She took a long walk. She was gone for a long time. She said she just took the long way, but she met Noah. But I would be curious what else happened when she was with Noah. What did Noah tell her? Noah gave her a pocket watch, which when it says it's for Charlotte, when Charlotte opens it, for Charlotte is engraved in this pocket watch. And I believe we'll see this pocket watch a couple more times during the show.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our first mention of Noah, of course. And Noah is much more mysterious character in season one. We get a lot more about him in season two. But, you know, as far as we know, we think he's like the big bad of this show.
Yeah.
Once we start getting more introduced to him. Of course, you know, she meets Noah when there's a lot of rainfall. What do we know Noah for? We know him for Noah's Ark, where he brings two of every animal, and it rains so much that it floods, and he builds the Ark to save everybody. So, again, going back to that doubling, that twin symmetry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, interesting that this is when we meet Noah. So, and finally, Helge, we see him, and he's saying that we have to stop Noah. He's at the Capitol and he says, I have to tell him. Helge says, we have to stop Noah. So they're really hitting you hard that like this Noah guy is bad news. And finally we see Yasin walking through the forest. He sees a little wood doll. Maybe that was what Helge was making. Maybe Helge's making that because that's what he did to lure the kids when he was younger. And it's just like, he's, you know, his mind is kind of going in cycles. So he's remembering that. But Yazin sees a hooded figure that we are meant to think is the stranger. And the hooded figure says, "Noah sent me." And then the episode ends.
Yep.
Yazin will be the next kid who is abducted by Noah and by younger Helge. But we will see the fallout from that in the next episode.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, so let's jump to some other people. Oh, so we also have Francisca staying in this family. You know, Francisca is followed around by Magnus. Magnus is very creepy in this episode.
Yeah.
I guess he's just processing Mikkel's disappearance his own way. But he follows Francisca to the forest and sees her grab something out of a box. It is a lot of money that we find out. And then he's watching her dance with a yellow flag in the gym. And then finally they get together in the locker room, which I guess nobody else uses that locker room, just Francisca.
Yeah. And just her she must a private locker room.
Yeah.
She's so really good at dancing.
Yeah. Yeah. She's good at spinning in circles and waving a flag around. So,
yeah.
Oh, and at the end of the episode, Francisca's mad. Elizabeth gets back. Everybody's happy. Elizabeth didn't get killed. But Francisca is not happy because Elizabeth is wearing her lipstick again.
Mm-hmm.
So if only there was more lipstick that she could get. Just that one.
Yeah, you know.
All right. So then let's jump over to Jonas. We don't even see Hannah in this episode. I think Jonas is the only one of his family that we see. We don't see Mikkel. We don't see Michael. And really with Jonas, we don't see much about him. We just see that he's looking at the map. He started to investigate the caves and trying to find his way around. And then we do see the stranger a few times, especially in that opening scene, we see the stranger. Mm-hmm. The stranger, you know, I think, you know, we talk about doubles and twins. I mean, they're Jonas and the stranger. That's the most clear example of that, is the same person in the same spot from two different timelines. And Jonas marks some, or the stranger marks something on Jonas's map with, I believe it was a red marker as well. So we've got that color red again.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything else with Jonas this episode. It's just him going to the caves. He does find a red thread on his bike.
Mm-hmm. Like the loop looking noose thing.
Yeah. I guess the stranger put that there, but I don't really remember the significance of it, but it is red, of course.
Yep.
And then going to the Nielsen family, just a little bit. We talked about Magnus. We've got Ulrich kind of the same way with Jonas, where he's trying to investigate the caves and trying to break into the power plant. It's interesting that we see the power plant from behind that fence so often in the first season, because I didn't really remember that being significant. But especially when you watch season two in the future, where Jonas is in the future, that power plant being behind the fence is very important. That's what he can break into to get to the big time portal when he's there. So I think that there's, you know, it's just an interesting shot. It just establishes it for the later season, which I wonder what else will have been established in season one and two that we don't even realize after we have season three. And we see there's, at one point we see Katarina confronting Ulrich as Ulrich is sleeping in Mikkel's room. Did you notice anything about this? Cause I noticed a couple interesting things from this scene.
I mean, it seemed not particularly, it just seemed like she definitely knew, but what were you noticing?
Well, she has bright red nails. Like her nails have definitely been freshly painted and they're red. So it just seemed like, and they focus on that when they go to that scene, that's the first thing you see from that scene, are the red nails. So I couldn't tell you what the significance is, but it seems like there's a reason they would focus on that.
Okay.
And then right behind Ulrich is a poster that says The Great Houdini, and it's got a picture of Mikkel on it.
Oh, yeah. I noticed that the episode before, too, that picture. But, yeah, definitely. I mean,
which could just be, you know, he disappeared just like Houdini.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's pretty much everybody that we see in this episode. You know, we don't see a lot of people. And it's interesting because, you know, this is now back-to-back episodes where we haven't seen a lot of characters. We don't see Martha at all. We don't see Bartosz or Regina or Hannah. So I'm sure we will see them in the next episode. It's hard for me to remember what happens in the next episode exactly. But it's a good setup episode. It's really good when you look at this episode and the series as a whole with doubles. Is there anything with threes in this that you noticed?
I didn't notice any threes in this episode that I had noted, at least.
Because even that Mikkel's been gone for 2 days, not 3 days. So maybe there's, I don't know. I mean, it's definitely focused on loops, but not anything with threes.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that you could think about, you know, when they talk about mirroring, if you take a three and you put it up to a mirror, it would make an eight. You know, you could also look at that three up to a mirror and it would make like an infinity sign as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that's part of the significance of three, is like you combine the reflecting, the doubling of a three, and it makes an infinity sign, which is really what all of this is. I mean, even, you know, the stranger writing something on the map, which I'm assuming is what's going to lead Jonas into the right spot in the caves. If he didn't do that, Jonas never would have gone to the caves, which would have, he never would have become the stranger to begin with. So it's a big loop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely get more into that as we go too.
So, so that wraps up episode 4, Double Lives of Dark. Who do you got for your MVP of this episode?
So I would say it would have to be a Doppler. And so I will give it to Elizabeth just for the snail line for me. That has made me think more than any line that's been in the show so far.
Oh, interesting.
Because if you can go back to that line, she says she came up with it from TV also. So, like, I don't know if it means anything or not, you know, but now I have my eyes open on any characters that are going to gender swap and end up being the same person. Like, someone's going to go back in time as a little girl and be their own father somehow. I don't know, but, like, I've just, that Elizabeth is my MVP.
All right. Yes, it is. You know, I think I remember watching this the first time and didn't know any significance of Elizabeth, not even until the very end of the season 2, I think, that I really cared about Elizabeth. Obviously, she's important. My MVP, so I wasn't going to give it to Charlotte, but I just think Charlotte also, like, screwed up quite a bit in this episode. Like, she was the focus, but, you know, she didn't pick up her daughter. She wasn't able to, you know, another kid's going to get taken on her watch. And she's kind of shady in terms of her investigation. Yeah, she confiscated something. So I'm going to give it to the stranger, because the stranger keeps the timeline moving the way it's supposed to. He didn't do much, but what he did is he's pointing Jonas in the right direction in terms of the caves.
The way it's supposed to for him to exist.
Right, he's keeping himself existing.
And I think that maybe that's a problem, that everybody is keeping themselves existing, and it's everything's connected. So as one person pulls a string, the other person's string gets pulled this way, and just this, like, pulley screwed up system of inner looping.
You can't get out of a knot by pulling it, right? You got to untangle a knot. If you just pull it, it's just going to get tighter.
Mm-hmm.
The Mirani's knot, I believe, is what they call that.
Mirror.
Yes. All right. Well, I guess, does that mean Jonas gets another MVP point since I gave it to the stranger? I guess so, right?
Yeah. As of now, they're still confirmed to be the same person, and we have no reason to believe otherwise. So, yeah.
All right. So that means Jonas takes the lead with 2 MVP points. Ulrich, Tronte, Alexander, Mikkel, Egon, and Elizabeth all have 1. So no MVP points for Hannah.
No, not yet.
She might not get one until the day that she leaves Ulrich in the 50s.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, that wraps up episode 4. We will be back sometime soon with episode 5. Do you remember what the title of episode 5 is?
Episode 5, I believe, is Truths.
Truths. All right.
Yep.
It looks like the next episode is Truths. I don't really remember what happened. I mean, the nice thing is, like, outside of a few episodes, I can't remember what happened in which episodes in this show.
Mm-hmm. Just before we leave, do you have any theories why this show is called Dark?
Not really. Just because it's a dark show, I guess.
There's got to be something to it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. But I think by the end of it, it's going to be one of maybe the final, you know, things when you're just like, oh, that's why it's called Dark. I don't know. There's something I don't know. Maybe it hints towards where this is all leading to.
Mm-hmm.
But I just think it's such a – it's with a show where every line has been so pointedly written and decided that the title isn't going to be any less all the episode titles have huge significant meaning in their episodes, I think. And I think the overall title will too. So we'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm trying to think if there's anything that could be a reason. I mean, dark is the absence of light.
Yeah.
That's not really a profound thing to say. It's just,
I don't know. Like so far you just come up with like, yeah, really nothing. So maybe it's just what they decide to call the show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But for a show where it thought about everything else, I bet there's some thought behind the title as well.
Yeah, maybe I'll look up what dark means in German, or like what the word is for dark in German. Although mm-hmm. I think the show is called Dark even in Germany.
Yeah. So maybe it's nothing.
Yeah. Well, you know, some shows play around with the title and the title becomes significant and you don't realize it until the very end. I won't spoil what show I'm talking about, but there is a specific show where the title is has a different meaning than what you expect it means, and you don't find out till the end of the show what that is. All right, so that wraps up episode 4. We'll be back with episode 5. If you want to let us know what you are thinking of Dark, if you have any questions you want us to address, if you're doing this rewatch along with us, if you have MVP points or things if you have a theory why the show is called Dark, we'd love to hear it. The easiest way is to get at us on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @BrooksZA.
Yep, and I'm @AaronJayBrooks.
Yes, AaronJayBrooks is him. Definitely subscribe to this podcast because we have a lot of episodes that'll be coming out. Tell your other Dark-loving friends. And if they are people who are not yet watching Dark, tell them to listen to the first episode, and maybe that will inspire them to watch through to other episodes.
Yep. So,
and we will be back sometime soon to tell you the truth about episode 5.